a program devoted to the largest segment of the world society. To those of you who know that all religious, political, economic, and military institutions are corrupt, that they have become counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed, I'm Yetta. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate anytime over the next 2 hours, toll-free, 877-376-45. All the Abominator could say after the point-by-point debunking of his plan with Iran, which does nothing but give Iran a open highway to a nuclear arsenal, is there's nothing new in Netanyahu's words. Well, let's say that there is nothing new. Let's say that that's good, because Netanyahu would be consistent. That would be different than the Obaminator, who is inconsistent. Being consistent is a good thing. Saying the same thing over and over again when you're right is always a good idea. As it relates to Netanyahu's speech, he systematically debunked every aspect of the Obaminator's plan, point by point. He exposed it, condemned it, put together a reasoned analysis of it that shows that there is absolutely no hope for the world under that plan. And mind you, there is not one chance in a jillion that that plan will even be accepted by Iran. That's how far the world is apart. And so what you will have is the Obaminator will announce a watered-down plan that Iran will completely ignore. And within a matter of years, they will have a significant nuclear arsenal. And unlike countries in the past, other than the United States, Iran will use it. That's just the reality of it. Some will say that, Israel will stop them. I don't think that's possible. I think Israel is capable of delaying them. Iran would already have a nuclear bomb if it wasn't for the software corruption that Israel was able to place on the centrifuges in Iran's four-door facility, which sped them up and caused them to destroy themselves. Of course, the Germans, under the name Somatic, if you're buying software to keep your computer virus-free, find a company other than Symantec, because they're the ones that found the Israeli virus and removed it from the Iranian machines so that they could continue to refine uranium into 90% fissile purity to make a bomb. And so, at the end of all of it, you have a president who is resolutely in favor of Islam, fanning the flames of what will be the most destructive act in human history. We are going to have a nuclear war. The country that is the most likely for having started it will be Iran. They will most certainly be a participant. They will use the bombs they create. And I say that not as a matter of speculation, but as a result of understanding. When you come to know what Muhammad said and did, and then understand why he did so, and its result, its consequence, once you come to know the Quran and Hadith in chronological order, set into the context of Muhammad's twisted and perverted life, it becomes obvious. It's the only reasoned, informed, and rational conclusion that can be drawn. Muhammad did not give Muslims a reason to live, only a reason to die. And the only guaranteed way, according to Muhammad, who of course was lying at the time, to enter his perverted whorehouse of paradise was to be killed, killing others. The ultimate killing machine that will lead immediately to reciprocity is a nuclear bomb. The Iranians, as fundamentalist Muslims, will choose that option. That's the reality. And at this point, Netanyahu knows it's an inevitability. And Israel does not have the wherewithal to destroy Iran's capability. I'm not even sure that America does militarily. And I say that because of two reasons. One is that almost all of the testing to develop the centrifugal explosion that triggers the fission bomb, a simple nuclear bomb, has been done. That facility has been was built, was used, and has subsequently been destroyed. They have the technology and have built whatever quantity of centrifugal explosive devices are necessary. The refinement capability comes mostly in Fordor, which was built hundreds of feet below a mountain. It's impervious to any kind of bomb. And the other technical support capabilities for their nuclear ambitions are under schools and hospitals and highly populated areas, where you would take out a tiny aspect of the program at great human cost and wouldn't even have the assurance that you took it out, but you would have the assurance that you will have ignited World War III just in the carnage that you create. And, of course, then there is the nuclear power plant that America began and that the French continued and now the Russians are completing. It can't be bombed without enormous consequences environmentally. So there you have it. It can't be stopped. And ultimately, there is going to be a nuclear exchange. Now, what's interesting is that with Netanyahu being the only one who is willing to tell the truth, to hold the Iranians' feet to the fire, and to say that, you know, this whole thing about peaceful use and research and the like is a bunch of rot, that their entire intent is to develop the bomb to use against Christians and Jews. And, by the way, also against Sunni Muslims. That with that realization of him being the only one, you would think that Israel would be the most vulnerable. And, you know, Netanyahu talks about the very survival of Israel. I think that is a mistake in the sense that I don't think there's any chance that Iran is going to use a nuclear bomb against Israel. Just don't think that's going to happen. But I do think that the likelihood of Iran using a nuclear bomb against the Saudis, who they can't beat militarily. The Saudis are too well armed with American weapons. Although they could give the Saudis a heck of a run for their money militarily. But against the Kuwaitis or the Saudis or the Qataris, that the Sunnis that are the most avid supporters of Sunni Islamic militants, it's very possible that they could use it against them. And, of course, it is very possible that with their great hatred of the United States, that the Iranians would use their missiles against the United States. Now, for those who say, well, they can't because they don't have international ballistic missile technology, I would tell you two things. One is that the North Koreans do and the Russians do. And the Obaminator has so destroyed America's relationship with Russia and has so poisoned Europe's relationship with Russia by forcing Europe to go along to stay under the umbrella of U.S. military protection and NATO, that the Russians have reached out to and grasped the hand of the Iranians. They have $1 billion a day economic trade agreement. No oil for everything you could imagine. And in that trade agreement, the likelihood of the Russians providing now for the very economic survival, the Iranians with international ballistic technology and the cover to complete their nuclear ambitions, is very high. It's even high in China, where the Chinese have a mutual interest in terms of the oil and gas pipelines that run from southwestern China near the Caspian Sea. And so there is really, you should not have any comfort in them not having the capability. That really is the easy part of the equation. And beyond that, the North Koreans will trade anything just to menace the United States because we're so menacing to them. Meanwhile, the Iranians did what Muslims are best at. They attacked an unarmed vessel. They built a mock version. It was really pretty crude, but they built a mock version of a Nimitz class U.S. aircraft carrier. And then sent these little waspy-looking speedboats. I mean, these boats couldn't have been, 50 feet long. And they're only the Muslim would call it a navy. Anyway, they sent these speedboats to circle the aircraft carrier. You see a bunch of 10, 12 of them, and they're racing towards the aircraft carrier. And then you see a 50-year-old helicopter and also shooting machine guns at the aircraft carrier, and they blow up their pretend aircraft carrier, and they're shouting Allahu Akbar. Only one problem: it's unarmed. The Iranian media released the following: Iranian naval forces. Now, these were boats that were much smaller than a tugboat. I mean, these were like little PT boats, not as well armed as a PT boat, not as sleek as a PT boat. In fact, a very crude version of a World War II PT boat. Iranian naval forces displayed their skills in targeting enemy vessels and destroyed a mock U.S. Aircraft carrier during their Islamic Revolution Guards Corps Navy massive the name of the maneuver was the Great Prophet Nine. excuse me. Scott, to be a prophet, wouldn't you had to have a legacy of detailed and precisely accurate prophecies that have been fulfilled to be a prophet? And to be a great prophet, wouldn't you have to be perfect in your predictions, that everything that you predicted came true as you foretold?
I believe those are the requirements, yes.
Yeah, I think those are the requirements. And since the Quran says that Muhammad was not a prophet, and the Quran just is point blank, because everybody that knew Muhammad, far better than, of course, anybody today was mocking him. Said, come on, you're demon possessed. You're a charlatan. You're just a scumbag. All you want here is sex, power, and money. And this whole Allah speaking to you thing is total and complete nonsense. So, just for giggles, if you want to prove you're a prophet, come up with a prophecy. Muhammad's response was that, I'm not a prophet. I'm just a revealer. I'm not a prophet. So the Quran says he's not a prophet. But of course, you know, Islam is trying to keep pace with the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, and the wannabe God Allah wants to be considered greater than, bigger than, older than Yahweh, the God of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. So he's got to have not only a prophet, but a great prophet. So here you go. They got a great prophet. Anyway, that was the name of the naval exercises, and the Iranian forces displayed their skills in attacking an unarmed vessel. Now, had it been a U.S. Nimitz-class aircraft carrier, what do you think the likelihood would be that they, would have been first targeted, and each of those little boats blown out of the water by the aircraft support on that that aircraft carrier before they even got within 100 miles of it. And once they got within a mile of it, what do you think the likelihood that the Gatling guns on the side of that aircraft carrier wouldn't have been deployed against them? The notion that they displayed great skill is so laughable. It's just the ego of Islam. And it displays the character of Islam. Muhammad never attacked an army, never attacked a navy, never engaged in a military battle, never fought a foe that was capable of defending itself. All of his raids were ambushes against civilians. It's just like this. They attacked an unarmed vessel. Now, the other part of this that is interesting is that you have the abominator yawning and say, oh, there's nothing new, and nothing new in Netanyahu's speech. Who did they call the enemy? Last time I checked, that Israel doesn't have an aircraft carrier. Last time I checked, the only country that has a Nimitz-class aircraft carrier is the United States of America. As a matter of fact, of the 22 aircraft carriers in the world, half of them are American, and that our aircraft carriers are unique in that one American aircraft carrier, not only do we have half of the world's aircraft carriers, it would take three or four of the remaining 11 aircraft carriers possessed by other countries around the world to equal one American aircraft carrier. We're the only ones with Nimitz-class, nuclear-fueled aircraft carriers. So, the Iranians are targeting the United States as their enemy. But, true to form with Islam, they have no intent of targeting the American military. You see, the military would be useless because they'll never attack the military. No, they will attack defenseless targets. Yes, Muslims and their great prophet are adept at attacking the defenseless and unarmed. Muhammad engaged in 75 raids in the first 10 years of the Islamic era. They were all against either completely defenseless civilians or very lightly armed civilians. He never once engaged a military. You know, this notion that Muhammad was wonderful because he was a political, religious, and military leader, you know, a statesman, and that he fought to defend Muslims, all rubbish. A complete and utter fabrication. Total lie. All of Muhammad's raids, except two. He was the aggressor, and he attacked civilians for the express purpose of robbing them, of raping the women, and of selling the children into slavery. All of his raids, except two, he was the aggressor. He used terrorist tactics, and he ravaged defenseless civilians. tormenting them in every inhuman way possible. And the two, whereby he was not the aggressor, are as a direct result of him being the aggressor. Twice the Meccans came to Yathrib to stop the menacing harassment of Muhammad. You know, Muhammad's first attack was Badr, the basis of the eighth surah of the Quran. And they were so tired of Muhammad kidnapping their sons and daughters, of Muhammad's goons murdering their people, their families, of Muhammad raiding their caravans and stealing from them, that they said, you know, we've got to do something to stop this idiot. And so twice they went up to Yathrib to try to stop him. And those were the only two defensive battles that Muhammad ever fought. That's the truth. This is an interesting story. Under pressure from the Abominator, the U.S. FCC has mandated net neutrality, regulating the Internet like a utility and other forms of communication. Now, so that you understand what the consequence of that is, which you understand the consequence of having the United States regulate something, I would like you to consider the telephone as a utility compared to cellular networks, which are not. The telephone with the telephone wires is dying. It's an absolute dying industry. If it wasn't for cellular, AT&T would be essentially unknown. Verizon, which came out of the wired utility realm, now advertises one thing, just like AT&T, their cellular business. So while one is dying under U.S. regulations, under U.S. taxation, the other is building capacity. One is prohibitively expensive and horrible service. The other is improving the quality of their service, rapidly building capacity, and decreasing the cost to customers, while growing through innovation, while the other is nearly obsolete. The difference between regulation as a utility by the United States FCC and the innovation of business. Every aspect of that comparison is relevant to what is going to become of the Internet. Consider electricity. There's no new power plants, no new efficiencies, a total disregard for alternative methods of energy generation. No innovation, and an absolutely crumbling infrastructure that is extraordinarily vulnerable to collapse. Heavily regulated by the U.S. government. Consider water. No new dams, no new aqueducts, no maintenance on a crumbling system. We can't figure out what the Romans did, what the Babylonians did, what the Egyptians did. Egypt became a nation primarily because of its ability and willingness to build aqueducts off of the Nile. It became the transportation system. It became the communication system. It became the means to generate water for food. It was the very backbone of Egypt. Civilization grew up along the Tigris and Euphrates River because they figured out how to use aqueducts to get water to farmland. And yet in America, we can't build aqueducts anymore. There was a period of time we built them. We don't build them anymore. No, too regulated by different branches of the U.S. government. Consider broadcast television to satellite and cable. And now that on broadcast television, which was dominant but heavily regulated by the United States government, but in any one community, major metropolitan area, there may be four channels. And those four channels are watched and listened to 4 to 5 times more by cable and satellite subscribers than they are on from the airwaves. Broadcast television is essentially gone. All because it was regulated by the U.S. government. And what's replaced it? Cable and satellite. And which of those two is dominant? Satellite, of course, because it's the less regulated of the two. And now consider the programming that exists via cable and satellite versus broadcast. Was it 100 to 1? It's got to be in the range of 100 to 1. Innovation, capacity, quality, versus the death of all of those things. Consider radio. Terrestrial radio, heavily regulated by the U.S. government. And consider that now for all of the alternatives to listening to talk programs. There are very few, maybe a handful, of talk programs that have a higher listenership on terrestrial radio than they do on the internet. Virtually all communication now, in terms of talk radio, has nothing to do with radio. Has all to do with the internet. One was regulated heavily by the U.S. government, the other not. It's been the death of an industry. Anything that the United States government regulates dies. It's just the nature of it. And so what do they want to do now? Regulate the internet. It will kill it too. That's why would the government's intervention into healthcare, where it began under LBJ in 1965 with his creation of the Great Society and Medicare, and then Medicaid, has led to the destruction of the U.S. healthcare industry. We went from being the best in the world to being mediocre. We went from being affordable to unaffordable. And what did the abominator do? He exacerbated the problem by shifting what now is about 50% of the healthcare, the financial aspect of healthcare from the civilian side, the private side, to government. Just going to make matters worse. And then you look at supply of drugs, for example, heavily regulated by the U.S. government. Takes $1 billion and a decade to bring a new drug to market. So we are very seldom the source of new drugs. That's the reason why American drug companies are constantly buying drug companies from around the world. But the process is not nearly as expensive. That's why drugs are so expensive. It's one of the reasons why healthcare is so expensive. What do you have to sell a pill for if it costs you $1 billion to bring it to market? You look at the U.S. Airplane manufacturing industry, very heavily regulated by the FAA. It's cost $100 million or more and years to get an airplane through the arcane tests of the FAA, tests which reason, logic, never prevail. All a bureaucratic mess. And as a result, so many of what was a very prolific American industry has faded away into nothing. So why would the abominator want to regulate the internet? Largely because he wants to control what people see and hear. Largely because he is a control freak, all narcissists are. But it's something you ought to be very concerned about. It's another liberal, socialist plot, desire to control and constrain free enterprise, so that government can impose its control over what you see, over what you hear. The result is always the same. It's always debilitating. It's always destructing. but they seek to impose their will over what they consider to be lesser life forms. We read from Reuters that the Islamic State suicide bombers and jihadists struck targets Saturday in northern Iraq and Samarra, where security forces, these would be Shia suicide bombers and Shia mujahideen, and their Shiite militia allies have been gathering for an offensive against the Sunnis. It's a religious civil war, with America supplying the weapons on both sides. Security sources and residents said the attack on Samarra was launched at dawn, when two Islamic State suicide bombers blew themselves up in cars in the northern suburbs. Suicide bombers. Imagine the devotion. Imagine the indoctrination. Imagine the corruption to be a suicide bomber, particularly on a religion so utterly stupid as Islam. A religion without a prophet. A religion without any semblance of truth. A religion that's bankrupt morally. So the Muslims that are warring with each other over whether Sunni or Shia Islam is superior. One man drove a Humvee rigged with explosives into the south of the city and detonated it. Now, last time I checked, Humvees are not manufactured in Iraq. Last time I checked, Muslims don't manufacture any automobiles, much less armored personnel carriers. So that Humvee that was used by the Islamic State to create a suicide bomb to kill Sunni, to kill Shiite Muslims, was provided by America. Now, does that mean that the Humvee was part of the awakening program that America gave the Sunni tribal leaders? Petraeus has got his tetna ringer right at the moment for those who know the awakening program was his brainchild. And he did arm the Sunnis during the surge so that they could allegedly combat al-Qaeda, which didn't exist in Iraq. But they could defend themselves against the Shiite, which America was arming. So either this Humvee was part of that transaction, which is America deliberately gave it to them, or it was part of the weaponry that America gave the Shiites that was then confiscated when the Shiites simply turned tail and ran when they were attacked by the Sunni mujahideen. But it was an American weapon that was deployed, killing masses of people. Residents reported seeing black smoke over parts of the city and learning of powerful explosions. Thousands of troops and fighters from Shiite militias known as the Hashid Shabi, the popular mobilization, have gathered around for a campaign to drive out the Islamic State. What we have found is that the Shiite militias that were killing Americans, Sattar had the largest of them, were deployed principally to kill Americans when America invaded Iraq. And then after America gave Iraq to Iran, those Shiite militias went quiet. And then when America withdrew from Iraq, the Shiite militias began to attack Sunni civilians. And now the Sunnis have risen up and taken the battle to the Shiites, and now the Shiite militias are engaged fighting Sunni Iraqis. Boy, what a mess we made in Iraq. For those who think and want to thank American servicemen for their tours of duty, for their service to this country in Iraq, think again. Think again. Or just think in the first place. We took a country that had almost no acts of terrorism and had absolutely no Islamic fundamentalism, and we turned it into the single worst example of Islamic terrorism in the world. We made it the mess that it is today. We made it worse. Much, much, much worse. So you ought to think again. I have said that the Obamanator is a narcissist, and that he as a narcissist, doesn't want to be constrained by any rules. I mean, as a narcissist, he considers himself godlike. And since the U.S. Constitution prohibits him from banning guns, you know, the Second Amendment is really clear. You can't have a prohibition against Americans' ability to keep and bear arms, and the arms that they have the right to keep and bear would be the arms used in a militia. These are not hunting guns. These are anti-personnel weapons. It's absolutely clear that you can't be consistent with the U.S. Constitution and impose any law against the prohibition of any kind of a weapon system. Let's just read the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Well, so what the Abominator has decided to do, because he wants to eliminate assault weapons, he wants to eliminate the single most popular gun in America, which is the AR-15. Now, he can't do that because he doesn't, well, first of all, the executive office does not pass laws, although the Abominator thinks that he can because he's a narcissist. But even then, the U.S. Congress can't pass a law that in any way interferes with people's rights to keep and bear arms. So what did the Abominator do? He told the ATF to order ammunition manufacturers to cease manufacturing and to cease selling the ammunition for AR-15s. It is being banned. Who thought that that would have occurred?